This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You're putting trouble on the run. Man, you found the hole in yarn. Twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night away.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock still to come. Ken Wilson still to come. Chris Pronger. Martin will be here, and we'll talk to a guy who could be winning $100,000 by placing a $400 bet. We got a lot to talk about. Frank, did you go around town taking up all the copies of the Post-Dispatch? I did not, but they do have a good. I did. I get a Post still that shows my age. I still get a Post-Dispatch every day, and I love their sports section. I know everybody else reads it online. Anybody pick up a Post?
I actually saw Maroon holding it. There was a screenshot of him reading it, and I think he's on the cover. I'm not
really?
For sure exactly what
yeah, they
the cover
had him
is.
By 10:30 when we were walking out of the place, 10:45 last night, they had the front page already printed.
Yep.
So good work. All right, let's welcome to the program a man who's done great work all season long as the radio analyst for the St. Louis Blues, former NHL player Joey Vitale. Joey, thanks for being a part of the program. How are you today?
Frank, good morning. I'm doing terrific. It's been a wonderful morning. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, but doing well now.
How about we saw a video of you and Curbs after the Maroon goal. Describe the booth and was it euphoric? Was it emotional? Take us through what you were thinking as the final buzzer sounded.
Well, so the Maroon goal was, you know, you have to go back to the Dallas series when he wins that in game seven, and that was just like pure elation. That was just raw emotion. You know, we're trying to do our job as a broadcaster, and we're trying to describe the play to people on the radio, and you're trying to be as professional as possible. And that video after the Maroon game seven overtime winner kind of caught us in a raw moment of just a Blues fan. I mean, we're at heart Blues fans, and we are excited about this team. So maybe not as professional as we liked, but at the same time, it was exciting to really see the Blues fans come out in us. Last night, the booth had a bit of a different kind of aura about it. You know, we had Claiborne next to me, and Claiborne, I've been listening to him since I was a kid. Chris Kerber, of course, as a kid. Chris Raby, I mean, a lot of people, great people at KMOX who've been so supportive throughout this whole year. The game wasn't quite as exciting as the Game 7 in Dallas because obviously it didn't go into overtime. We won pretty handily 5-1. But as the minutes started ticking away, maybe a little less excitement, more I think just a really good, peaceful, like serenity, just happiness there. I mean, Claiborne was tearing up. Chris Kerber was getting emotional. I was getting emotional as a Blues fan. Again, I never forget when Steve Yzerman put the puck past John Casey. I went into my parents' room. I was crying myself to sleep. I mean, that's what Blues fans have had to endure over the last 49 years, a complete just despair at times. We just could not get there. And it was just a really good culmination last night where we're finally going back to the finals. And it was emotional. It was just a very emotional night as we saw the whining minutes start ticking down the third period.
And on the ice, they are peaking. They just seem to get a little better each round. What are you seeing here?
Well, it shouldn't happen that way. And it is, you're right, Frank. They're getting better with each and every game they're playing in the postseason. And really, it should be looking more like what the San Jose Sharks just did. They should be getting more tired, more worn out. The play should be slipping. They should be making more mental errors because the body and the mind, the emotions, it's been taking a toll on these players. You know, I really look towards the depth of this team, and I think this is a huge reason why they're continuing to improve. You can't go this deep in the playoffs with two lines and four defensemen or one goaltender. You need to have contributions from everybody on that team. The Boston Bruins are there in the East because of the same reasons. They have depth. Their fourth line is going to be the toughest fourth line we've seen all postseason. They're getting great goaltending, like we're getting great goaltending. They have six defensemen that can move their feet, be physical, box out, defend, and get on the offense. So this is going to be a very tough opponent we're facing, but both teams, when you look at it, both teams are playing very good hockey, and they're continuing to play better hockey as they get close to the finals because they have depth and they have 20 guys on that bench they can rely on.
I know it can't always be worked out. Like, say, in basketball, you want to put this guy on this guy. And in football, you want to put this cornerback on this wide receiver. But when Brad Marchand's on the ice, would it make sense for Coach Berube to have Ryan O'Reilly out there?
I think so. And I think that's probably the matchup we're going to see early on. But keep in mind, you know, Oscar Sundquist, Ivan Barbashev, and Alexander's team. That is, quote-unquote, our fourth line. When you would think that that's kind of a line that eats up 7 to 10 minutes a night, maybe dumps the puck in, gets some hits, you know, kills some penalties. But this is kind of evolutionized into a very good shutdown line. Oscar Sundquist, Ivan Barbashev, Alexander's team. Those three guys, you're going to see them out there to close out a game. We saw them last night to close out a game. They're defending. They're smart players. Alexander Steen's been playing this game a long time. No one works as hard as Oscar Sundquist. And Ivan Barbashev, he's like a fire piston out there. He just goes in every direction. He works. He does not stop. So that is an interesting line. I think that's a line that was put together this past series. And I think Craig Berube, especially at home, he's been matching those guys up against top lines. I would not be surprised if he tries to put those guys out there in games 3 and 4 to really try to shut down that Marchand line. Because the good thing is, if you can have a fourth line like the Blues have to shut down a top line like the Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak line, that leaves way for the top three lines to go up against a mismatch somewhere along the way, and that's when the depth can really play a role.
On the other side of the coin, David Backes was benched earlier in the postseason. He's come back and played extremely well. How do you think they'll try to match Backes up against the Blues line? Which line would he see?
Well, first of all, I think, as we all know, Frank, this is a great story. I mean, David Backes has been a Blue for so long. I think when he eventually retires from the National Hockey League, he will be looking back on his career, and he will be known as a St. Louis Blue. And now he's in the finals for the Boston Bruins, and he's facing the St. Louis Blues. I think, as you mentioned, he had a rough start to the playoffs. He was a healthy scratch, and he's been kind of in and out of the lineup throughout the season gone. I think the Bruins coach puts him back in the lineup because he brings some really good intangibles to the games. He can kill penalties. He can get in on the forecheck. He's physical. He's a heavy player. And I think the teams that make it, the teams that survive, the teams that make it to the final and win Stanley Cups, one area of their game that has been consistent over the years, they're heavy teams. You got to be heavy. And David Backes really epitomizes that heavy game where he is just heavy, cross-checks after the whistle. He's hard on face-offs. He'll whack you after the whistle. He goes to the net hard. He's probably going to run Jordan Binnington a couple times in the first couple games. You know that's going to happen. For their fourth line and David Backes, I mean, that's an interesting one because, like we were just talking about, this is probably the best fourth line the Blues have seen all postseason. We've typically been dealing with really good top two lines, and then maybe that's when the bottom two lines kind of sputter out a little bit. But David Backes has been getting that fourth line up and running. He's got some good speed. Wagner's been down there with him, Achiuri as well. So I think with David Backes out there, it's going to be something you really got to key in on because although he's on the fourth line, we've seen it throughout his whole career, he can make an impact in the series. He had a great series in Columbus and then as well in the last one against Carolina.
You know, oftentimes it's not that complicated. The team that gets the best goaltending usually wins. And heading into each series, the Blues had an advantage, certainly in the Winnipeg series in goal. They had an advantage in this series in goal. And I guess you could make a case that Bishop and Binnington were probably even. Now, in this series, most people are saying Boston has the edge in goal. I mean, this guy, Tuukka Rask, had one of the greatest seasons in the league, and he's a chance to win the MVP of the postseason. How do you see the goaltending matchup here?
I think it's similar to what we saw when we played the Dallas Stars. And Ben Bishop, a Vezina finalist this season, Tuukka Rask really hasn't gotten the notoriety that Ben Bishop has or Vasilevskiy in Tampa Bay. But you mentioned, really, I think his numbers were down this year because of how he started. You know, he was in and out of the lineup for different spurts throughout the season. It was Halak who came in as a sub who played terrific hockey early on. They got the Boston Bruins a lot of wins earlier in the season. So that's why I think Tuukka Rask hasn't really gotten the notoriety around the league. But for Tuukka Rask, I've watched his game the last couple months, especially in the playoffs. He had an okay season, but what's different about him is his play has improved more and more throughout January, February, and March, and then into these postseason, his game has continued to improve, and he really hasn't let off the gas. He hasn't had moments in games where he's let up a lot of goals. Like Ben Bishop, throughout those series, when he was playing Nashville and St. Louis Blues, he let up some soft goals, and as good as he is, he kind of let a couple go in, you know, below the glove from the blue line. Tuukka, to me, he's not letting any of those goals up. This is going to be a tough matchup for the St. Louis Blues. We've seen a lot of shots from the outside. Let's just take a look at the game last night. Martin Jones lets up a lot of goals from the outside. I don't think this is a situation where the Blues can really rely on a lot of perimeter shots going in to win them games. This is going to be a completely different beast. Tuukka Rask and Jordan Binnington, they remind me a lot of each other because they stop those perimeter shots. Anything from the outside they see, they're just going to smother. Now, the Blues have not seen that yet. Ben Bishop, Martin Jones, Hellebuck, they were letting in soft goals from the outside, and they've been winning some games because of that. I think this is different. If you want to score goals against the Boston Bruins this late in the season, against this goalie, and against the sixth defenseman, including Zdeno Chara, who's one of the biggest players in the National Hockey League, it's going to be those second, third effort. It's going to be the rebounds. It's going to be the dirty ones that go off your butt or your shin pad. It's going to be the ones that go off the glass and the back of Tuukka Rask's mask and going. Those are the kind of goals we're going to see. It's going to be much dirtier goals. They're not going to be as pretty as we saw last night when Vladimir Tarasenko just comes down from the wing and just snipes it and goes far down over the glove of Martin Jones.
Who would be with Vladimir Tarasenko in terms of best wrist shots that Joey's ever seen?
Oh, my gosh, best wrist shots that I've ever seen in person. I mean, Vladimir Tarasenko, without question, is definitely up there. I mean, Brett Hall, my hero, for sure. I can't forget about the Golden Brett. You know, in my playing days, I always looked at Alex Ovechkin as a player with just that heavy right-handed shot. I remember killing penalties against Ovi, and it was something where we always were trying to guard him. We knew we were eyeing in on him. We were trying to take passes away from him, but he just found a way just to get it off in such a quick fashion that I never really quite seen anything like it. Steven Stamkos is another righty for the Tampa Bay Lightning that when I was playing him, when he shoots the puck, you're like, oh my God, it just snaps off his stick so fast. Phil Kessel's one. The one thing about Vladdy's shot, and I remember Sidney Crosby telling me this when I was playing with him, you know, he practices his shot a lot. And Sidney Crosby does not have a very fast shot. But, it, you know, I tell kids this a lot too. In shooting the puck, it's not necessarily placing it, and it's not necessarily how fast it is, like, you know, miles per hour. It's really the quickness from when it's on your stick to when it's released from your stick. And Sidney Crosby, again, does not have a lot of velocity. He doesn't always put it exactly where he wants to, but from when the puck is on his blade to when it's off his blade, that split second, that quickness, that is essentially the key to a quick shot. Now, Vladimir Tarasenko has that quickness. He's got that kind of snap, and he's got velocity, and that's what makes him such a dangerous shooter. You see him in games, and I've talked to goaltenders who have defended him. He's got one of the most deceiving shots because of how quick it goes off. And go back to that penalty shot, Martin Jones and San Jose. It's over the glove. I mean, most players in the league would go there, and Martin Jones just snatches it up, right? It's not that hard. But the fact is, it comes off his stick so quickly, and this is just a player who's just dialed in right now. The power play goal he scored last night off the half wall, that's his favorite spot, and he always mixes it up too. We saw him score a high glove. He goes across the grain in that position. We saw him go high blocker last night on Martin Jones. Heck, we've even seen him go on five hole. He sometimes keeps the puck on the ice. So a lot of it is deception too, not just the quickness, the velocity, but also he's keeping goaltenders on their toes because he keeps mixing it up. He doesn't have a favorite spot he goes to. He just kind of keeps the goaltenders guessing, and that's really been kind of leading to a lot of his success here in the playoffs.
Joey, great work. We appreciate your time. We'll see you in Boston. Thanks so much.
Frank, anytime, buddy. Have a great day.
All right, Joey Vitale joining us, Blues analyst on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Before we go to break, quick word about the Bomarito Automotive family. We did the show the other day from the Bomarito Box. It is really a cool place. Bottom line is, if there's a sport in St. Louis, whether it's high school, college, auto racing, Bomarito is involved. 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations. Frank Bomarito started it. John Bomarito runs it. Go to Bomarito.com for more information about this terrific family business. We'll take a break. What would you do if you had a chance to win maybe $24,000 cash or maybe $40,000 cash? Or would you wait it out for $100,000 if the Blues win? We'll talk to the man who has that betting ticket when we come back.